So God, we just ask you right now to bless the service you already pray, and know that the atmosphere has been set by the songs of declaration, the songs of healing, the songs of hope for what you're about to do in our lives, what you're already doing in our lives. So Lord, right now, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you use me as your vessel, and I just pray that this message will be a blessing. I pray that anybody who needs hope will receive hope. Those that need salvation shall receive salvation, and that those will be encouraged and let them know about what you're about to do in their lives. So God, we just thank you for being in the midst and just having your way in this place. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm going to be reading for your hearing Luke chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. Once again, that is Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. The word of the Lord reads, I'm reading from the New International Version. You can follow along in any version you may have. But the word of the Lord reads in Luke chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. I'm going to read that one more time. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So today I wanted to talk from the subject, making room for God to move. Making room for God to move. Around, of course, always around the holiday season, especially around December, I always love when I have opportunities to share any type of word or teaching. I always love to come from scriptures that deal heavily with the nativity story, that deal heavily with all the circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. And one thing I love about this passage here is just all the things that Mary and Joseph had to go through just to make sure that Jesus was going to get here safely and securely. Like, we all know the story, of course. You know, Mary is a virgin. Angel comes before her, tells her that God has touched her womb, and of course she's freaking out. She said, this is impossible. You know, little worry, little concern, and the angel tells her to not be afraid because you're full of favor. Favor is on you. Favor is with you. I'm sure you've heard those amazing words over your life. One time saying, you know, there's a special favor on your life. There's a special anointing on your life. And you think when you hear a word like that, that things are going to be easy. You think that things are going to, that it's not going to be hard. Things are going to be too sailing for you. But the truth of the matter is, when you're favored, when God has a calling and an anointing on your life, more times than not, you're going to have a lot of opportunity, but that opportunity will not be absent of opposition. It will not be absent of obscurity. It's going to cost you some things. It's going to cost you a lot of comfort. It's going to cost you friends. It's going to cost you family. It's going to cost you things that you wish you didn't have to go through. But of course, Mary was willing to accept that. And of course, when she told Joseph, Joseph was like, I'm not trying to hear this, because first of all, now you have me out here, both you and the Lord have me out here looking like you're unfaithful. You have me looking like, you know, I was wrong to choose you. And of course, Joseph was going to, I love how, you know, you can see even in this moment that God made the right choice, because Joseph wasn't trying to throw her out there. He said, I don't want this, so I just want to quietly remove you because, you know, I love you, I still honor you, I respect you, but I can't go through with this. But then, of course, the Lord comes back to him and sends an angel to say, no, this is me. Do not be afraid to take her as your wife. Do not be afraid of the price that you have to pay to walk this walk that I have chosen you to carry this child, to trust this child, and everything that it will entail. So that's just amazing when you look at that passage. So, of course, you know, Mary and Joseph, they had to go on this long journey because of the criticism and the fears. Because if they found out that Mary was pregnant, and if they found out that Joseph is not the source of that pregnancy, they would have stoned Mary, because she would, in the context of their day, she would have been considered unfaithful. And nobody was trying to hear that, oh, God, touched her womb, placed his hand on her womb, because they're going to be like, oh, that's blasphemy, that's heretic, you know, you're a liar, you know, you've just been unfaithful, things like that. So to protect both of them, and especially to protect Mary, and to protect the promise, because sometimes what you're going to carry, what God's going to give you, it's not always going to be easily received, even as you see here in the story, by the people that might originally actually be assigned to help you carry it. But the truth of the matter is, what you're carrying is controversial. It is, what you're carrying is going to stir the pot. What God has placed in your womb, placed in your mind, placed in your heart, it's not going to be for everybody, and that's okay, but it's going to be for somebody. I just want you to remind you that of now, that it may not be for everybody, but it is truly for somebody. So what you're carrying is controversial. It might stir the pot. It might not be received well, but you have to be okay with that. You got to be okay with the opposition. You got to be okay even with the rejection and the doubts and the criticisms that come when you decide that I'm going to carry what God has given me. So, of course, you know, as they're traveling, you know, during this time and everything like that, of course, there is no, like the Bible says, there is no hotel, there is no place in the inn for them everywhere they go, because it's a heavy time of season and things like that. And of course, they're like, sorry, we have no room for you. It's overcrowded as is. I have nothing here for you. I have nothing here for you. I have nothing here for you. Just over and over and over again. You know, they're getting tired. They're getting weary. You know, Mary's having contractions and, you know, and it's getting worse and it's getting worse. And of course, it's really sad. You know, no room. It's like he had to tell, hey, look, my wife is pregnant. But we literally have nowhere to go. And they kept searching and searching and searching, hoping for a safe, watch as a safe and comfortable place to give birth to the Lord, you know, where they can be safe, they can be comfortable, they can be secure, they can be sterile, because of course, you know, you gotta protect the baby, but you also gotta protect the mother, especially from the climate and the environments, you know, especially this was before all the medicine and the sterile hospital rooms that we have now. But one thing that I loved is that, you know, of course, there was no other choice but to go to the inn. There was no other choice but for Mary and Joseph to go to, not to the inn, but to a stable, to a manger, basically a farm, in order to birth the Lord. And that was scary for them, because a farm is dirty, you know, those sheep are dirty, the animals are dirty, you know, their food scraps there, their waste from when they eat are there, and it's just covered in mess. And I know, I understand the concept where we say, you know, God doesn't bless a mess. I understand where it comes from, but in this case, God actually does bless a mess. He actually allows them to give birth in a messy situation. The truth of the matter is that sometimes God is going to cause you to birth in a messy place. He's going to cause you to birth in an imperfect place. And sometimes you're going to have to create room in the least likely of spaces, because God doesn't just want, like Jesus tells a woman, you know, many years later, we're not going to worship. It's not, and look, here we are now. We're not going to worship in elaborate buildings all the time, or it's not going to matter what elaborate building you worship in, or, you know, who you're worshiping with, you know, who you call this, who you call that. It's only, what's only going to matter is they that worship me in spirit and in truth. While you can worship me in a building, or you can worship me in a manger, or you can worship me in a prison cell, or you can worship me in a hospital bed, or you can worship me while you're out and about, because God is trying to use this example to say, worship is whenever you make it. Church is where you ever you make it. And God decided that on his first day on the earth as Jesus, he wanted to have church inside a farm, inside a dirty farm. And I just wanted to say that to encourage you, because for many of us, we feel like before we can start moving in what God has called us to do, everything has to be perfect, everything has to be clean, everything has to be sterile. But the truth of the matter is, righteousness is only grows as you start walking into it. You don't get righteous by standing, Lord, make me righteous, Lord, make me righteous. Lord, make me faithful. Lord, make me pure. Lord, make me, you know, worthy of my calling. You have to start walking in his purpose for that righteousness to start growing in you, for that holiness and that boldness and that confidence and that peace and that hope and that strength and that power and authority to begin to rise up in you. You have to just start walking even when it's imperfect, because God will want to use your manger. And I mean that strongly. God wants to use your manger, your closet, those things, those areas of your life that might be imperfect. Like just for my personal example, as I've always been testify about online and things like that. You know, for me, my manger looked like not having a job for many years. My manger looked like being kicked out of school. My manger looked like looking for a room for where my gifts can flourish and seemingly not finding it anywhere. And then God literally putting me in place, like, I want you to build a manger. I want you to create a manger in your imperfect season. And I want you to take your pen and start writing, even though nothing was perfect. I didn't even have the money to do anything. But it's like, as I trusted God and built a manger in my imperfect season, in my messy situation, in my stable, in my farm, you know, the same places where I was broken, the same seasons I was broken. And yet God birthed some of the most beautiful things out of me during those moments. So it's not going to matter where you worship in terms of, or it's not even going to matter who gives birth, helps you push, because that's what they got love. Because imagine if they went to the manger, people would have tried later on to take credit for what Mary was birthing. And God doesn't want any hands that have ulterior motives that are going to take credit for what you're trying to birth in this season. So that's why God will cause you to make room where there is no room for your gift, where there is no room for your vision, where there is no room for your purpose. Because even some of the biggest rooms, there is still too small for you. You're going to still have to trust God to give birth in a place where you have to make room as a trailblazer, as a leader, as a pioneer. You're going to have to make room. You're going to have to go into wildernesses and deserts where there is no path, and you're going to be the first person to create the path. So you can't afford to wait for someone to fit you in their schedule, to fit you into their vision. God will cause you to create your own vision, whether that's a business, whether that's a course, because that's what I really believe God is doing in this season. Even when I believe, when we talk about like the fivefold gifts and the office of the teacher, God is releasing many of us to teach on what we know and applying it with scripture, whatever career fields we're in, like with business, entertainment, writing, life coaching, so many other things, that it's time for us to start using scripture and teaching those skill sets so that we can make room for those like-minded like us in the kingdom who have similar skills and gifts and need a place where they can grow. So you can't afford to wait to fit in, because like I said, your miracle that you're carrying is controversial, but it's also too big. It's too big for where you're trying to force it in, and that's okay. It doesn't make you prideful to understand that what you're carrying may not be for everybody. It doesn't make you prideful to understand, I'm sorry, but I can't sit around the same group of people anymore, because what I'm carrying, I gotta be careful. Even those that I've known for a long time, I still gotta be careful, because I don't want them to contaminate it with ulterior motives, impure motives, selfish motives, all of those things. And you have to be okay with the fact that God's not gonna always let you be comfortable, but the promise is gonna be worth it. So you're not gonna have, of course, they didn't have anesthetic back then, but even in this season, naturally and spiritually, some of the things that God's gonna cause to you, there's not gonna be anesthetic to soften the pain, to lessen the pain. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. And sometimes God wants you to feel every last ounce of what you're birthing, because of the fact that way you will value and cherish much more the weight of what you're carrying. You'll can cherish it much more if you understand the pain behind it. And like I said, God just wants you to build a table, because you know the Bible says he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. But what if, adding to that, what if, or digging into that, What if God gives you the blueprint for that said table? He's giving you the blueprint in your mind and in your spirit on what that table looks like, where he's giving you the tools. I said, that's why I love the fact that Joseph was a carpenter, because he was a builder. So it was prophetic that Joseph was entrusted to take care of Jesus in the same way where, you know, they made that a house of worship by in that manger, a house of worship. And God's going to cause you to make a house of worship through your ministry, through your business, through your books, through your songs, through your poetry, through anything that God has called you to do. He is asking you to make it a house of worship, literally to make it out of nothing, because he's preparing you the table. He's giving you one thing. A word God gave me was that God's going to open doors to you, but what he's going to do is he's going to give you the wood. He's going to give you the keys. He's going to give you the doorknob to start creating your own door, not just the door from yourself, but the door that God has ordained you to walk through. Where, because unfortunately, when you have what I like to call, you have a builder's, an apostolic or a builder's anointing, you can't afford, sometimes what you're trying to do won't fit in old structures. It won't fit in old patterns. You're going to have to create something brand new from the ground up, the way God designed it, to house and to have enough space for what God is doing in your life. So you can't be afraid of what God is going to cause you to birth in this season. So like I said, the title of this message is Making Room for God to Move, and realizing that it's not always going to be perfect. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be beautiful, and you're going to cherish the journey. You're going to cherish the testimony. It's all opportunities for God to show you that in spite of, and I love it, because that's the last part I want to make, that God doesn't mind being in an imperfect vessel. He gets more glory out of being an imperfect vessel than somebody that claims to be perfect. He wants to be in imperfect families. This is whole family dysfunction on a whole different level. You know, like I said, with the whole birthing circumstances, all of that. He wants to be in an imperfect house. I remember even a few months ago, I taught a message on a Holy Thursday about how Jesus chose where he wanted to die, and that Jesus is choosing, like on communion, he's choosing to be at your house. He's choosing to make your manger, not your pretty living room, not the nice backyard or some fancy mansion. God is choosing your manger today in this season, your imperfect situations, your scars, those things that you've been afraid of, ashamed of, all those things. God is using your manger to be his dwelling place. God is using your manger to be the place where he births the most beautiful and powerful things that are gonna literally help take care of you and take care of your children, your grandchildren, and many souls for generations to come. So don't be afraid of the manger. Don't be afraid to give birth in a messy place. Make room, make an altar, even if your room is imperfect, your house is imperfect, your neighborhood is imperfect, the vision is imperfect. You may not have the money for the things you're trying to do, but whatever you have, start with what you have. Like he told Moses, what is in your hand? Don't wait for it all to come together. Just put one foot in front of the other, because I'm reminded of when they said the lepers, when Jesus told the lepers to start walking to the priest. And it wasn't until as they started walking one foot in front of the other, they were healed. So do not be afraid to start where you are. Do not be afraid to start in a controversial place, in a messy place, in a place where people aren't going to understand. Because we try to wait so that people would understand, but people will not understand. Some people will never understand. And trust me, there's going to be times where you yourself will understand. You just got to trust God and know that he's calling you to make room, even in the not so safe place. But guess what? He will protect you. He will give his angels discharge over you. He will guard you. You will be under his mighty shadow. So you will be okay. Even things that should contaminate you when you're birthing in crazy situations, you're going to still birth and give birth to a beautiful, beautiful baby. And I'm just so grateful to God for that. So be encouraged and know on this morning that God is causing you to make room so that he can get the glory out of your life, and so that no one, not even yourself, will be able to take credit for that. And of course, making room for Jesus the same way they made room for baby Jesus in their lives. There may be somebody today that needs to make room for Jesus in their lives, where God is calling you to create a space now. You know, even in your mess, like I said, even your manger, whether your manger, let's be honest, whether your manger is drugs, whether your manger is, you know, whether your manger, of course, is being involved in things that you shouldn't be involved in, whether your manger is, you know, an imperfect situation, an imperfect family. You know, I don't know where you may be watching this or where you might stumble upon this later on, but wherever you find yourself, God wants you now. The Lord wants to come now. He doesn't want you to wait. Oh, I got to get myself together before I start going to church. You can't go to church physically because the church is closed until further notice. So you might as well give your life over to him right from where you stand, right from wherever you're watching this. So if you would like to be saved, you know, you can comment in the comments. And of course, by the end of this video, one of the leaders of Abundant Hope will reach out to you. But of course, I would love to lead you in a prayer for whoever it may apply. So in that prayer is, and you can repeat after me, dear Lord, I thank you for just being my God and taking care of me and watching over me this whole time. And I just humbly ask that you would just prepare me to receive you in my heart. I ask that you make, that I make room for you in my life. Even as I begin to move this away, Lord, there are things I got to move out of my life. There are things I got to move out of my heart that are still there. But I ask that you come and abide now, and that you help me clear the space. You help me create a space. You help me create an altar. You help me create a house of worship just for you. So God, I just thank you for coming into my life and forgiving me of my sins, past, present, and future, and fulfilling me with your spirit so that I can do the things that you're calling me to do, so I can walk in love, so I can walk in peace, so I can walk in joy, so I don't have to walk in anxiety anymore, I don't have to walk in fear anymore, I don't have to walk in depression anymore, because your joy gives me hope, your joy gives me strength, your joy gives me peace. So God, I just thank you for entering into the lives of your people. And you can lastly say, Lord, I just thank you for coming into my life today. I thank you that you're causing me to make room. I thank you that you're just giving me a new sense of life even today that I can carry for the rest of my life. So Father, I thank you and I acknowledge you and I confess you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.